Okay, today's Mishnah in Oilos is Perek Yud, and we're in Mishnah Beit. So now we were talking about, remember, we're talking about this house, or this room, that's got a hole in the roof. And we were talking about the difference between the Tumah being beneath the hole, in which we have the Tumah is Bokat Veola, and there's no Ohel, even though there's Lovud, and it's really close to being closed, doesn't make any difference, there's no such din. What about if it's less than a tefach, right? And that's what this Mishnah is talking about. Have we taken the place of Shlosha Tefachim for Lovud? Have we taken its place by turning it into a tefach? Is that the point? Or are we simply ignoring the concept of Lovud completely in terms of the dinim of Tumah? So what we're going to be talking about over here is if ein baruba poteach tefach, how about we do not have a poteach tefach in that hole in the roof? So then, interestingly, the halacha is like this. Tuma babayit kineged aruba tahar. The fact that it's less than a tefach does not make it sealed. And it's exactly the same halacha as it was before. If you're underneath, you have a kli underneath that area, then it's not in the bayis. It's not covered by an ohel. I don't care how close it is to being covered by an ohel, which means that there is no lovud whatsoever over here. And keneged aruba remains tahor. If the tum'ah is keneged the aruba, what happens then? Do you think that if it's pochos b'tefach, that tum'ah does not radiate outwards? Is that what you thought? Well, if you did, you'd be making a mistake, because if the Tumah is keneged the aruba, first of all, obviously it's not in the oil. So the rest of the house for sure is not considered to be tame. So the Tumah is going to go straight out. But now the question is, let's take the next case in the first Mishnah. Somebody puts his foot over that opening. That was the next step in the Mishnah. So far, everything is the same. So now, the question is, over here, what would be the halacha? So we said, over there, you turned the area that was previously open, you made it a single ohel. And what was important in the previous Mishnah was that the tuma in the ohel was able to be metame your foot. Because now the tumas ohel is going to go and go through an opening of a tefach. Okay, but I mean, in this case, you don't have the opening of a tefach. And as we've learned all along, you need an opening of a tefach. So note that what happens over there, it's a fascinating thing. You put your foot on it. That turned it into an ohel. But because you turned it into an ohel, the fact that there was a hole underneath your foot allows the tumah to go through and hit your foot. But if it hadn't been an ohel, then you wouldn't have been, if your foot hadn't served as the ohel, then it wouldn't have become tame. Weird, huh? Okay, but that's what happened. So now that's the question, what happens in this case? Will the tumah hit your foot? Ah, so now like this. If the tumah is under the roof where your foot isn't, then even though what you have done is you have turned the area under your foot into part of the oil of the house. Yes, that you've done perfectly well, because it is covered now. That's irregardless of its size. I'm sitting under this weird patchwork roof where some of it looks like a foot, but whatever. But that's okay, you know, it's modern times and people do weird things with their roofs. But the bottom line is, this is all one room. So there for sure. The thing is, there's no hole of a tefach to allow your foot to become tummy with in this case, because we're only talking about tuma in the house, right? What happens if the tuma radiates directly to your foot? Is the din of requiring a tefach, is that a halacha in allowing tuma out from an ohel? Or is that a din in allowing tuma to penetrate? So if it's a din in the ohel, I understand that if the tumah is in the house, it can't get to my foot, but it doesn't cover radiation. So therefore, if hatumah neged aruba, what about if the kezayis ben amet is directly underneath the small hole, not a tefach, and you put your foot on that hole. Ah, now that is already more complex, and we have different shitas. Rabbi Meir says, look, the fact is that even though it's less than a tefach, the tumah in this case is radiating. And wherever we have ma'ahil, as opposed to ohel, you are basically coming in between the ray of tumah that would have been going directly out through the hole. Tumah can radiate through any size, doesn't need a hole of a tefach. And therefore, the halacha would be that in that case, it would be tumah, because you're directly over that tumah. Whereas the Chachomim say, actually, it depends. What happened first? This is so brilliant. I love it. What came first, the tumah or the foot? One of these primal questions in creation, right? So if your foot was there before the tumah got there, this is crazy. So then there was an ohel that was here, and the tumah wasn't radiating because it was caught by the ohel. So when you bring the tumah in, it can't penetrate, even though it's directly under the hole, but that's no longer a hole. That's an ohel. So even though the relationship between your foot and the hole we accepted was that the hole exists in terms of letting the tumah out, but over here, it's less than a tefach, and it won't let the tumah out through a roof. That's less than a tefach. Brilliant, no? I love it. Okay. So therefore, if your foot comes first, so then when the tumah comes, it can't let the tumah through because now it's an ohel, you see? That's the point. If it was the other way, where you basically have the tumah, they have the kezias under it that's radiating there, so then as soon as you start to put your foot over that hole, zap! Then it's too late to put your foot down because it's already basically has become tummy. That's the difference. Now, there's also another shita. That shita is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, in principle, I agree that if the regel comes first, so then you've made it impossible for it to be radiating because it's just an ohel. But I want to add another point, okay? Suppose, all right. Thank you. So suppose you've got 2 feet. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. One guy, Mr. A, puts his foot down on that hole. Comes on Mr. B, says, you keep that foot on that hole. And he puts his foot on top of Mr. A, right? So now Mr. B's foot is on top of Mr. A's foot. And what happened is over here that both of those feet got there before the tumah got there. Aha. Now, what happens if Mr. A slides his foot out from under Mr. B's foot? So now the question is, did Mr. B's foot get there before the tumah or after the tumah? Oh, amazing. Okay. So what I say is, Mashach HaRishon et Raglo. So now the first guy pulls his foot out from under the other guy's foot. And Nimsa Raglo Shoshen Esh. Wow, look at this. There's another foot that's blocking the roof, right? So I say that the second guy is still Tahar, even though he, in a sense, was there only afterwards, but that's because Mipnei Shekadma Raglo Shel Rishon et HaTumah. So if you are there before the tumah gets there, what's the difference in this case? When we add his foot, we don't really, foot is a generic foot. What do we care if it's your foot, if it's the other guy's foot? The bottom line is, it's the same OL that was always here. And therefore, what's the difference if it's another person? Because when he put his foot over there, there's nothing new happened in terms of the OL. The OL was an OL, is an OL, and there was a continuum of OL. So therefore, we have to treat that Mr. B as a guy whose foot got there before the tumor got there, and there's no way to get through with it. Now, clearly, the Chachamim disagree over here with Rabbi Shimon, because the fact is that the tumor was there from before, and we look at it, therefore, vis-a-vis his relationship to the tumor as being irradiated the instant before it turns into an ohel.